Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. Jesus knows my need and for me intercedes. We want him doing that, don't we? I know they didn't sing scripture tonight. They sang a principle from scripture that he is ever making intercession for us. So he does know our need, and he does intercede for us. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm glad he knows my need. I'm glad he's interceding. I know sometimes I feel like I kill the service because of the sobriety of which I address things sometimes. But the Bible says to be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to raise your hand, but raise your thoughts. Sitting on a church pew tonight, scale of 1 to 10, where would you gauge yourself in your walk with the Lord? Now take that number and try and figure out what the number is for the one that's not sitting next to you tonight. I thoroughly believe with all my heart that I probably wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for Rodney probably saying, First Baptist Church, Williston, South Carolina. But you got a prayer request tonight? I'm sure he sat in the back and he said, pray for this guy I'm talking to at work. He's a really hard cookie. He needs the Lord. There was probably somebody, maybe one of these little kids like we have, just like Noah just did, that just went up there and interceded because Rodney said that on my behalf, and it was those prayers that God was able to break through my hard shell and go back to him and say, now tell me this thing again. What do I got to do? Give me the things I got to do, and that set forth a journey, and I haven't forgotten that. And you can't forget it either. Pablo needs somebody to stand in the gap for him. Jason needs somebody to intercede for him. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I almost feel like it's an indictment against us tonight when I said, somebody stand up. Somebody face Goliath in the valley. And Noah, he just came to church tonight to just bring a smile and a handshake. But he looked around when nobody else stood around and probably said in his heart, is there not a cause? And let me say this for the doctors of the law that probably would critique me for that. His prayer gets through just as quick as anybody else's. You say, well, there's a lot of ladies in here, Pastor, that are spiritual. I know there are, and I appreciate it for them. But it's an indictment when a man doesn't stand up. Men lead the home. People will use the passage of Scripture that Deborah was a judge of Israel, and she was. But that wasn't a commendation. That was a condemnation because of how bad the state of Israel had gotten, or the nation of Israel, rather. But not standing too far off in the shadows was a man by the name of Barak, or Barak, however you want to pronounce it. He helped her. God didn't leave her all by herself, but there's Esther's and everybody else. But when it comes to a congregation, we ought to have men that stand up, that want to stand in the gap. I'm thankful that Rodney probably mentioned my name in a church service. I'm grateful for that. Don't forget these names we mentioned. Our church doubled in size by the names we mentioned. Doubled in size, and then some. If there's 60, 70 in here tonight, between here and the nursery, it just went to 140. Making intercession for somebody else. Not going to let go. That what? That was it, that importune woman? I got a friend that needs help. He got up aggravated because she just kept knocking. And he answered her prayer. Let's not be weary in well-doing. If you faint not, you shall reap. I just butchered that. But you know what I was talking about. Amen. Let's get some revival. Let's realize we're I know life's tough. I know it's hard. It's difficult, man. I know it is. I feel the weight of it every day. I ain't stopped moving since I started this morning. And none of it was for me. There wasn't a moment in time for me. I didn't stop and get a frappe. Literally, it was for somebody else all day long. I know it's difficult. It gets weary after a while. But if you don't do it, who's gonna? Amen? I know it's sobering. I know I bring that level of sobriety to the church. I'm sure if I wasn't as sober as I am, there'd probably be twice as many people here. I know that. It doesn't bother me a bit. Because one thing I'm not going to have to face God for is just taking it lightly. I take this position and the responsibility of this position so probably too much, too serious maybe sometimes. But we can make a difference, and only heaven will reveal the difference we made. Even if Rodney didn't raise his hand, I don't believe it for a minute. Even if he didn't. I've lived for 30-some-odd years as a Christian believing he raised his hand to prayer meeting. And it's made me keep Wednesday night prayer meetings, because I believe prayer makes a difference. I believe it makes a difference. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 3. Then, I hope you've been reading this, been more acquainted with Nehemiah. I got so many notes in this thing, and I don't have any. I figured if I don't write anything down, then I won't get 15,000 words like Revelation. But then here I am just scribbling notes and everything. And it's an amazing book. Nehemiah was an amazing man to be in captivity. He, of all people, could have said, just like the little maiden, man, I'll tell you what, I need help. But while he needed help, he was thinking to help somebody else. And it showed on his face. I have people ask me all the time sometimes, I say, are you doing okay? I'm sorry my countenance shows sometimes. It's tough when you matter. Your lives matter. Because if you can get running on a straight course, you can help somebody else. You don't realize your value. That's why the devil just beats you down. And truth shouldn't beat you down. Truth should encourage you to say, man, here's what you shouldn't hear tonight. I tell you what, went to Wednesday night service. I mean, it's tough out there. And all pastor did was just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about praying. You can look at it like that, or you can look at it like this. Man, I went to Wednesday night church, and my pastor still believes in Wednesday night prayer meeting. He still believes that my intercession on the behalf of others, God hears that. And if I'll just stay the course, and if I'll pray without ceasing, you don't have to just always get in your closet. If somebody would have pulled up, trying to think what day that was. It's rained so much. I was mowing the other day, so that would have been Monday. Somebody would have pulled up in my driveway, they would have thought, what in the world, what happened to this guy? I was just going through name, and I'm this, when I'm on my own, and it's not specific prayers, I just invite God, bring anybody you want to my mind, and I'll talk to you about them. And I just sat there and talked to the Lord, reached out to two of them, said that they were on my mind, because if we don't, who does? If we don't, who does? I believe my Mama Ruth in a little house that Cody reached out to me the other day. He said, you ever live at such and such and such and such in Mobile, Alabama? And I zoomed in on the address and spanned it out. It's ghetto now. But it was ghetto then. I didn't come from the same side of the tracks as some people. And I said, yep, that's where my mom and I and my sister and my little sister on the way lived. And I was saying to myself when I said that, I believe I'm here today also because of my Mama Ruth. East Batane Street, Mobile, Alabama, and her little yellow kitchen with them metal tables, you know, and they had that You know what they had? It's like three little riffles around the edge of it, and then it had that whatever it was in the center, and it looked like marble, but it was plastic, cardboard, or whatever. She'd sit at that table with her Bible, and I'm sure she prayed. He ain't got much of a daddy, but he's got a praying grandmother. God, do something with him one day, and I'll meet her in heaven for her prayers. So you can either say, boy, he just beat us up about praying, or you can say he just encouraged us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you can pray for God to intercede, or you can sit there and just be caught up in everything you do. It's just perspective. What's the perspective? Does Maddie need prayers tonight? Does Miss Klein need prayers tonight? What's Nancy's condition tonight? What's she sitting there thinking? And God, through the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, can intercede, and the Holy Spirit that lives in her, and just motivate her maybe to get back in church and be loved on. And let me say this while I'm here. When somebody comes back you ain't seen in a while, when somebody comes back you ain't seen in a while, do I really need to give a class on it? Sometime the last thing somebody needs to hear, just hug them. Just say, hey, it's good to see you. I was sitting there all the while during missions. I know he didn't come to see his daddy. He can see his daddy anytime he wants. But he came and he showed up. And we'll never understand that moment in an invitation, in a message. There's such a spiritual battle that takes place at church. And here he is. I told Brother O'Malley after it was over, I said, he says, good to see Josh. I said, that's all you. That's your testimony. He came because of your testimony. Because you've loved him through the years. Because you've cared about him through the years. He came to see John O'Malley. And when he comes to see John O'Malley, somebody walks up to him and says, good to see you. Why don't you come to my church? And Josh, with the Michael Lovett that he has in him, just looked at the person with a smile on his face, listened to everything. My boy's so respectful, even out of church. And he said, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. What's the moral of the story? Just love people. Sometimes the tone of your voice and the things that you say and the comments that you, it doesn't sound good. You can sometimes just greet somebody like they've always been there, like they've never missed a service. Because they might not be physically in a pew, no different than you could be physically on a pew and spiritually 1,000 miles away every church service. So just remember that, amen? Prayers make a difference. Chapter 3. Is that good? Was that the message? We should maybe get an invitation, sing another song. Somebody out there tonight needs us. There's a Mike Lovett out there, 2 weeks away from pulling the trigger in his service revolver. I'm sure of it. Without the shadow, we didn't meet tonight just to meet. I love Bill Nicholas. Every time I see him, I appreciate it so much. I don't know how many days I got left with him, and I'm not putting him in the grave. But it does my, he called me today, and when I got off the phone with him, I said, I love you, and he always, his voice changes. And he has that Bill Nicholas little crackle to his voice. He said, I love you too, Pastor. But I didn't come here for that tonight. I came here because we set this day up to pray for somebody else. And there's a Michael Lovett hanging on for dear life out there somewhere. And he needs somebody sitting on a church pew interceding before him. Not worried about his situation, not worried about anything. And Lord knows I got 1,000 things on my plate I wish God would take off. But I have a conversation with God, and I say, God, you bring something in my mind, I'll talk to you about them. You throw somebody's name in my lap, and I'll sit there and talk to you and say, help them here and help them there and guide them here and protect them there. That's how this thing works. Yeah, I could probably open this up, I guess. Share a couple verses of scripture and not get through it. keep y'all till 8:47 and give the invitation and feel like dirt because I feel like I kept somebody too long. Or we could really, seriously, we could double in size and spiritual power with just the people we named tonight. I come in, you might see me sometimes sitting in that chair right over there. I'm trying to navigate where so-and-so is. I'm trying, because watch this, if they ain't sitting here physically, they ain't gonna get much help spiritually. Amen. Give me two songs that are good. Two songs, I don't care. If Noah has to sing them again. I mean two songs that are good. Ladies, you know which ones they are. Don't be so humble. Where's that verse of scripture? Somebody help me with a verse of scripture. You say you're moving us emotionally. I hope so. I hope so. I hope I'll move us emotionally tonight. And it doesn't have to be somebody lost. Mr. and Mrs. Miller, I've had you guys on my heart all week. I lost my mom so many years ago. Never had a dad. And I just looked at those pictures that Miss Patty posted. Just precious woman it looked like. I wish I could have met her. And that's a void. It's just a void that won't ever come back. I don't know what her spiritual condition was. I don't know where her standing was before the Lord. But that's a void that can never be filled again. He's touched with the feeling, watch this, of our infirmities. You know, there's some of y'all, Brother Colossi, you sit in here without your wife. Brother Nicholas, you sit in here without your wife. I'm not talking about praying just for somebody that's lost. I'm not talking about praying for somebody that just doesn't attend church. I'm talking about pray ye one for another and so fulfill the law of Christ. I couldn't help, man, this week hearing that story of a 13-year-old boy falls off a float at a parade. I literally live my life like this. You know why? My sister was killed at 40. I'm going fishing in a couple weeks to a place as a young boy. Mike didn't know this. To a place as a young boy that I went fishing and came home, parked. We pulled into the marina, and they were waiting at Foxy's with the phone that my sister had been killed. And I'll go back there, and I'll have all those memories again. And I was thinking about that this week. Can you imagine Memorial Day parade and they call you? Maybe it's a dad. Maybe I'm sure mom and dad might have been there. I don't know. They were on the float. You say, but they don't go to our church. But it ought to break our heart. If we don't, who does? If they don't have a church, who helps them? I went to eat with Brother Urchick this week, Tuesday, and sat down with him. And I just said, I can't imagine. I can't get in that world. I can't. My mind, pastoring's difficult enough for me. I sit and look at Alicia sometimes, and all I see is Mega and Noah and Isaac and Sarah. And Sarah comes up as a friend's suggestion. And I'm just sitting here and saying, that little girl was on our church pews. I'll never forget that day back there. I'll never forget that day back there, Miss Emily, when I looked at Melissa and said, if you won't, can we? And then we just forget them. Pastor, man, you better take a vacation or you're going to lose it. If we're not praying for them, who is? You know what's happened to our Wednesday night prayer meetings? I remember coming in back in the day. Wednesday night prayer meeting was Wednesday night prayer meeting. I can take you to churches back down south. They had what was called mourner's benches. Anybody ever remember the mourner's benches? Two, three hands. That's where you came up and you mourned Nehemiah. What did Nehemiah do? What's he say he did? And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Nehemiah had enough of his own problems. He's in captivity. I don't know how they were taking care of him. Where's his family? Was he married? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it in Scripture. You don't think Nehemiah had a thousand things on his mind? Family members that could have been killed, could have been, I mean, the Babylonian or whatever captivity he was in. And what's he do? He starts thinking about not just himself, about somebody else. And it says he wept and mourned certain days. It's hard for us to just say a 5, 10, 15 minute prayer. I had a memory come up on my phone today where Graham Road posted about a prayer meeting during COVID. And them were some of the most special times. Special times we got together and just prayed. I think it's what weathered the storm for COVID for us. We need to get back to that. That 13-year-old family's got their hands full right now trying to navigate that. And then Mike was sharing a story where he's in Chagrin Falls, that a man was in a car accident and was walking down the road and somebody come over the hill. Done, gone. Entered into eternity. Preacher, you're too sober. I'm not sober enough. Not sober enough. Let's sing a couple songs. Amen, some good ones. I know I need that book. I asked 14 months ago for a book, all the good songs. Somebody comes to your mind, just go to the altar and pray for them. God, you brought this person to my mind. You might be praying for Mike Lovett. I'm not trying to scare anybody when I said that I put that bullet in that revolver and spun that chamber. And I said, I'm tired. And something kept me from pulling that trigger that night. And 2 weeks later, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Let's get back to Wednesday night prayer meeting. You got another one after that?